Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, your very fast-paced video cast that's designed to help you and other entrepreneurs realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And today I have with me my very special guest, Phil Risher. Phil, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Wayne, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. And let me give you a little bio about Phil, but then I'm going to dig into his background a little bit more. We don't live very far from each other, we just found out, but Phil is the owner of Flash Consulting, and that's with a PH at the front because Phil begins with a PH, right? So
there you go.
So I think it's actually very appropriate, good marketing on your part. And he helps local businesses increase their sales and keep their schedules full through data-driven digital marketing consulting. And I believe in that too. And after helping a 20-year-old $3 million service data service business scale up to $5 million in 24 months, that's fantastic growth, and then sell to a private equity group, Phil took that blueprint and now helps other home service businesses grow. And he's been very successful. We'll learn a little bit about some of the successes he's had. His efforts in technology and small business have been featured in Jobber's Masters of Home Service, Forbes, CNBC, Yahoo Finance, and the Wall Street Journal. So, Phil, first of all, tell us where you are today in terms of geographics and where you are in terms of your practice and where you came from originally.
Yeah, so I'm born and currently live in Maryland outside of Washington, D.C. And I didn't start in digital marketing, but I made my way to digital marketing consulting, and I got a wife and a daughter, and you know, overall just a pretty normal guy, but I have a cool business, and I like to help people. That's my big thing, is give the recipe and sell the cooking.
How did you get into digital marketing? What were you doing before, and how did you morph into that?
Yeah, when I came out of college, I was an international business major, and I ended up I graduated and I didn't have any real job. I had an internship at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. So I started working there and their management trainee program. And so in the first 4 years out of school, I ran a local service business doing, you know, $2 or $3 million, got paid off the bottom line. And then I read a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he talked about, hey, the number one skill you can know how to do is sell. So I said, I want to go sell. So I went in to their corporate office and I sold fleet management services to home service companies. So companies like large HVAC contractors that have a bunch of fleet vehicles.
Yeah, sure.
None of that has to do with digital marketing.
You know, but that's pretty cool because you learned how to sell. Enterprise has a really good management program from what I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. I was one of the top branch managers. So I learned how to run a local service business through their program. And then I learned how to sell to home service businesses through my corporate experience. One thing in between all of this was I'm a big Dave Ramsey guy. Financial peace, pay off debt, that kind of stuff. When I came out of college, I had $30,000 in student loans, and I paid that off in the first 12 months out of school.
Beautiful.
Working at Enterprise. Then I saved up for the next 2 years, and I bought a condo with cash when I was 25, all just by working at Enterprise, just, you know, grinding. Well, my wife is a kindergarten teacher, and her friends were like, hey, how did you do this? So I started a website. I built a WordPress website, blog. I learned how to do social media marketing, SEO, email marketing, and I started driving a bunch of traffic to my website and teaching people how to pay off student loans. Same time, I was working at Enterprise selling fleet management services. So I got featured in a bunch of cool stuff. I was on the radio, news stations, all like the local stations that you would know, and big, you know, publications and stuff. So I would go to these meetings with these business owners and say, what are you doing for marketing? And they would say this, and I was like, well, you know, I was just featured in CNBC or, you know, Wall Street Journal, whatever. So I started talking with them. Well, I didn't like working in corporate. I like, you know, getting out, doing cool stuff.
You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Literally, that's what it is. So I quit my job and I'm like, I'm going to go full time on this blog thing and do digital marketing and like build up this blog. So I bought a tiny school bus and I made a little tiny home and I traveled around the country with my dog, just making content, doing news interviews, creating YouTube videos, blogging, emails, all that stuff. And I basically just like learned how to do all this.
Okay.
So when I came back from that trip, one of my clients was that home service business owner that was doing $3 million right at the top that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And he was following me on Facebook because I built really good relationships with these guys. So he knew I was coming back. He knew I was a killer. And he was like, hey, I want you to come work in my business and help me grow. So when I went to work there, all my worlds collided. My local service business experience with enterprise of running a home service business, like specifically how to do it, how to grow. And then my digital marketing experience of like how to get people to your website and convert them into leads, and then nurture those leads with emails and then get them to convert into sales. All those things came to a head. And in the first year, he grew 3 to 4 million. And then the rest, I got at it from there.
So give me some examples. I mean, you made an ex one example was an HVAC company. What are other home service companies that you work with and that you can represent?
Yeah, so typical like HVAC, plumbing, electrical, gutter cleaning, electrical, but gutter cleaning, restoration contractors.
Yeah, roofers, right?
Yeah, so with roofers, we do work with roofing contractors, but ideally we want a company that is not just a one and done service.
Okay.
Because roofers, it's like you get a lead, you sell the lead, you get a roof on, and then you gotta wait 20 or 30 years. With other home service business, there's this whole extra part to it of like retargeting, cross-selling, that we really like to get into that, which is unique to a digital marketing company.
So restoration work, home improvement work, outside, inside, you name it.
Yeah,
So,
landscaping,
yeah,
hardscaping,
I work a
windows,
lot with
doors.
those types of companies too. And I think the ability to teach them how to digitally market is really, really important. What if you had to say what the most critical digital marketing shifts that you made to help your clients scale past, say, six figures in revenue up to seven and beyond? What are those shifts? What did you teach them? What did you teach yourself, really?
There's three in particular.
Okay.
First is on the visibility side of getting new customers. That's usually the first pillar. But the thing inside of that pillar that people need to solve is return on ad spend. Most of these companies are spending money on Google Ads, Yelp, Meta, Angi, whatever, but they don't know if it's actually producing revenue. They just have a gut feeling that is generating leads, but they don't tie it all the way through to return on ad spend. So when
Okay.
I went to work at this home service business, they were spending $3,000 on Google Ads, $2,000 on Yelp. And I'm like, okay, this is great, but how do we know if this is actually turning into real leads and real revenue? And this is the part that most companies miss. In their CRM, their client relationship management software, there's this whole host of data that's sitting there that they don't use. So what we solved was we figured out how to get Google Ads, leads, return on ad spend every single month. So then we knew we're spending $2,000, we made $20,000. Let's do more of that. This is the thing that we have to solve in every single business because it's one of the easiest levers to pull and say, let's do more Google, let's do more Yelp, let's do more Meta. But if we don't know what's working, we don't know what to pull.
So the data that you're talking about mining is the identification of where the lead is coming from specifically.
That's right. And tying it all the way through to return on ad spend because in home service, it's like you got a lead, you go out there next week, you give them an estimate, you wait 3 weeks to get the estimate, then you go out there another week to do the job, then you have to, another month later, you have to tie it all the way back to the actual starting point. And most people, it loses, what is actually happening and what's generating revenue for them.
So one of the things that I run into as a marketer when I'm doing digital marketing, I know how much I spend on the advertising or on the, whatever pay per click or whatever it is that I'm doing.
Right.
But what we don't track very well is the amount of time that it takes to follow up, to spend time with somebody to convince them to hire you. How do you build that into your ROI model?
Yeah, great question. This is the second thing that we solved.
Okay, there you
Yeah.
go.
So most companies don't have a lead problem, they have a lead management problem. The leads are coming in from all over the place, and they might call them one time or and then it's just gone. So when I was at this home service business, we would get 40, 50 leads a day coming in.
Okay.
And we had four customer service representatives trying to manage all these leads. What they would do is print them out, put them on their desk, make a check mark next to it when they called them, write LM, left message. And it was just, then they had a stack of stuff, trying to manage. Yeah, exactly. So what we do is we build a process to streamline this. The way that this looks is when someone fills out a form on your website, they automatically get a text and an email. And the text would say, "Hey, Wayne, thanks so much for reaching out. If you could share some more pictures or information about your project, please text them over." Now you initially move to the next step with them right away. A lot of times you have to wait till Monday morning, 8 a.m. when your CSR gets in. Hopefully they call them, they don't answer, the lead's gone. So the speed to lead piece of getting directly to them help speed up that ROI piece of the back and forth and getting stuff going.
Yeah.
Then what happens if they don't respond or something happens, you put them into another nurture sequence, which is like 14 or 21 day follow-up sequence. Hey, Wayne, are you still interested in getting this done? Hey, Wayne, you still having problems with your gutters? Hey, Wayne, you still having issues with your AC? And you're just keeping following up with them. 9 times out of 10, that's one of the biggest solutions for companies is just put a lead management plan in place so you can keep track of your leads.
Is it automated?
Yeah.
And so, how do you distinguish between somebody's asking for help with their gutters versus help with their painting versus help with whatever?
Yeah, so a good automation software, what we do is like, let's say someone fills out a form.
Okay.
On their form, they select the service that they want, then they go into that bucket, then they get certain automations. If it's a phone call, same thing, you just put them in the right buckets and then they go through the right automation.
Brilliant.
The other
Absolutely
piece,
brilliant.
the other piece of this that most people miss is in estimates. So with home service businesses, they're sending out a bunch of estimates. They leave it to the owner or maybe one salesperson to follow up on estimates. They should have an estimate process for rehashing or following up on their estimates as well.
So how do they know how to estimate something without actually seeing it?
Well, they would want to go out and do an estimate. So
Okay.
the lead nurture process is to get them on site to give an estimate.
Yeah.
For the industry I was in was duct cleaning. We had kind of standardized pricing, but if you don't have standardized pricing, you got to schedule that estimate to go out, but then you need an estimate nurture sequence on top of it.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah.
So you've developed a process. You've automated the process and you've made it much more streamlined. So from lead to close, it makes it very fast.
That's right. And the third thing, like I mentioned, there's the third thing that we fixed. This is the one that everyone misses. They get the
Okay.
lead to close part. That part is tight. But what they miss is that you can't get lifetime value without a lifetime relationship. They think, oh, Wayne will call me when he needs me. Wayne knows that I also do da 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 other service. No, he doesn't. So what we do is we had a company, they're an HVAC contractor. They
Yeah.
were not reaching out to any of their clients ever before. So we set up one email every single month for 12 months and we cross-sold different services. We set up a content calendar and in the first year they generated $253,000 just by sending out one email every single month. And
Wow.
this is the thing that people would they have a gold mine sitting in their database. All you got to do is just reactivate this list and get people to come back into your funnel. So it's not just new customers, it's also returning customers coming in.
Beautiful. I love it. We do that too here. And it's been extremely valuable because it re-engages us with clients that we did work 20 years ago. And
Exactly.
we keep sending them a monthly newsletter. It's automated. It goes out to everybody on the mailing list. We try to avoid any kind of spam connection by using, specific software. And it really works. I mean, not everybody opens the newsletter, not everybody opens the email, but if you get a decent open rate, click-through rate, then it does work pretty well. So
That's right. There's a common issue here in the lead estimate nurture process that typically happens. You have these Caspers, we call them. They're friendly ghosts. They're nice people, but they never get back to you. And usually if you do an estimate process, you might follow up with them 14 or 21 days, but then you're like, I'm never going to hear from this guy again. Like I'm done following up. This is the exact person that you want to put into your email sequence. And we had an example. They're a custom closet company. In April, this woman came in, got an estimate for $14,000. She ghosted them. She Caspered them. Then wait 3, 4 months. It was 4 months. She got an email every single month. That month was about the unique process that we use to help them solve this problem. She said, yep, I'm ready to go. Is this estimate still valid? And then she was ready to go. This is why you don't just say, oh, my customers know about this. Oh, I'm never going to talk to these prospects again. You got to put them into something. You pay for these leads, so you got to get out of them as much as you can.
I love it. I love it. And you get paid, you have paid traffic. You develop your own organic content for whatever the business you're in, home services or whatever. And then you have partnerships. How do you balance the paid traffic, the organic content, and the partnerships using your current marketing engine that you've built?
Yeah, it all has to do with the different business that you're in. So for
Okay.
example, like HVAC, let's say you're in a really competitive market and you're just starting an HVAC business. There's no way that in SEO you're going to be able to compete against these behemoths that have thousands of Google reviews and have been doing SEO for years.
Okay.
So that doesn't make sense. Then you might have Google Ads. Okay, you might be able to run Google Ads or Meta or Yelp, but it's going to be expensive and you're going to be praying to the Google gods saying, "Please send me leads." and it's a black hole of money that you're never going to see again. But in this specific instance, B2B partnerships is a great way to grow your business. One, because it's free. You can build a relationship with a complimentary service and get referrals coming in that are warm leads. Instead of paying Google for the leads, you pay these B2B partnerships for a lead, and then you start getting leads coming in and you build almost like a sales army for you. So, kind of to answer the question, it depends on every single business mix of what they need. But overall, most businesses, if it's not super competitive, we just do all three and then they all perform pretty well. It's just about tracking your return.
Got it. Got it. I love it. So what are the mistakes that people are making that keeps them below that $1 million mark or higher?
Yeah, really, there's a saying, to get to $1 million, you have to be a hustler. There's hustle. You got to hustle it out. You got to figure it out. Once you get to $1 million, to go from 1 million to 10 million, the hustler has to die and the leader has to be born. And what happens is, specifically in home service, is there's these replacement rungs. There's a really good book called Buy Back Your Time. And he has these replacement rungs, which is you got to hire an admin person. A lot of times, people in home service, they don't hire an admin person. They hire a technician first to go out and do the work. And then they still do all the $10 tasks, the admin stuff. So good home services that are scaling have a CSR, customer service rep, office manager as admin. Then they have their delivery type. So they don't just default to them being the technician mindset. They have technicians. The third one is marketing. So a lot of times under $1 million, they have cookie cutter or fragmented marketing. They pay this company over here to do some Facebook ads. They pay them to do some SEO, but it's not a cohesive marketing game plan. It's just random people doing random stuff. So you got to get a company that ties it all together. The fourth rung is sales. Usually they are the number one salesperson. They go on vacation or are sick or are out, the business falters. So you got to replace it and get another salesperson in there. You could still do the sales, but you can't be the only salesperson. So those are the main things. Like it sounds simple in practice, it's hard to implement. But a lot of times people bottleneck themselves because they don't replace themselves in those specific areas.
So getting a good customer service person who's not that expensive that takes over those lower level, low cost tasks, getting a replacement for the salesperson, and then getting the technicians obviously involved.
Yeah, and getting a marketing plan
And a
that
marketing
uses
plan.
the reason the marketing plan is, I mean, obviously that's what I do, but the biggest things that we miss here is you have a marketing team, but they're not using your data in your CRM to make decisions. And then they're not using automations to tie it all together. They're just doing marketing. You need someone that does marketing, data, and automations to pull it all together to make sense.
Are there certain CRM programs or apps that are better than others for this purpose?
Yeah, so Jobber is, I work a lot with Jobber. I've been on their podcast a bunch. They're a great one for someone that's going to go from like 0 to like $4 million in revenue is their sweet spot. There's Housecall Pro, which is another good one. And then ServiceTitan, which is a $1 billion company that typically is like 3 million plus revenue companies would work with ServiceTitan. Those are the
I
big
see.
three.
And do these programs have the full complement of tasks and the ability to continue the digital marketing and measure all the digital marketing that you're doing?
No, so this is the problem, is that those CRM softwares are dispatch softwares. Their software is specifically designed for you got a job, put it on a calendar, go out, do the job, give them an estimate, invoice it, and it's just dispatch software. The problem is that companies really need some type of a lead management software to manage their leads and then put it into their dispatch software. Inside of these platforms, you can finagle some reports to get the data out. But this was the secret sauce that I figured out in the home service business, that once I was able to get these reports and put all this stuff together, then I really was cooking with all the stuff, moving parts. And I mean, I have videos on how to do it on YouTube and all that stuff. But basically, it's not easy from what you're asking. It's not like, oh, here's your report of your campaign summary report that shows you all this data here. You kind of got to figure it out and piece it together.
The lead management software, you built that?
So there's a couple different solutions for people. There's some out-of-the-box ones like Chirp and Hatch. Those are the big ones that people use. There's also HubSpot, which I wouldn't recommend for home service, but it's one that's well known. We use a tool called Go High Level, and we white label it. We call it Flashlight. And it's more designed for marketing agencies. Like we have a full-time developer on the team who builds out our Flashlight stuff, but there's solutions for everyone. It just depends on how custom you want to make it and what you want to do.
How big is your team?
We have 14 people on our team.
Okay. And how have you scaled your business so that you are not chief, cook and bottle washer?
For sure. So for us, it was like about 12 months ago, I read this book, Buy Back Your Time. And I read it four times because it scared me. And it was like, you got to hire an admin person to help you with your stuff. Then you got to hire a director of digital marketing. Then you got to hire some marketing people to help the marketing people. Then you got to hire a salesperson. So slowly I've been buying back my time. In April, so a couple of months ago, I took a whole week off and I didn't look at my Slack, email, phones, nothing for the whole week.
Okay.
And I told my team, like I basically planned it out that I'm going to be out, and my business ran perfectly. When I came back, I had a couple of prospect meetings and ready to go, and new clients coming in. For business owners out there, what I would recommend, there's a book called Clockwork by Mike Michalowicz. And in the book, he gives you a challenge. And the challenge, Wayne, this changed my whole mindset, was, Wayne, in 12 months, you're going to be off for the whole month and you can't look at anything. And so now you have to reprogram everything that you're doing every single day. You're not going to be able to do that in 12 months. So someone has to do this. Who's going to do it? And it forces you to figure out who's doing this thing. That really helped me a lot. Streamline the business and not be the bottleneck and be in it all day and every day.
It's not just for home services. It's not just for marketing. In law firms, it's also an issue, and I have that issue myself, which is why I joined Fisher Broyles, a big distributed law firm, so that I would have other people to help me do the things that I normally spend time doing, but it's not the most efficient use of my time or the best use or my favorite use of time. And so
Exactly.
getting people to do the things that need to be done quality in a quality manner is really important, but you don't have to do everything. And I think you're on the right track. It sounds really good. How do you measure success beyond leads then? So what metrics or indicators are you using to move that needle so that your clients are all in seven figures and beyond, maybe eight figures?
We have clients in eight figures. The great question, and there's five of them. And this is very important for businesses. Most businesses miss this. And especially for like a marketing perspective, you want to track these numbers. The first one is your leads. You got to make sure that you count your leads year over year. So not just lead count. You want to say, last July I had 80 leads. This July I had 100 leads. So I'm growing 20%, because you got to start there. The second one is jobs. Like, okay, I got 100 leads, but how many jobs did I go out on or give or go to give an estimate or do those jobs?
Right.
The third one is estimate count. This is the number one thing that anyone can track, is how many estimates that you're doing. Because
Okay.
you could get a bunch of leads, but they're not good quality and they're not going to turn into estimates. And estimates is the number one way that you can grow your business. Because if you just generate more estimates, all you got to do is close them, and then you're going to close, then you're going to grow. So estimate year over year. The fourth one is your total revenue. Obviously, you want to track that year over year. And the last one is new customers. New customers are so important, because it's not just returning customers coming back in. You're paying money to get new customers. How much are you getting year over year? As a digital marketing company, we actually go into our client CRM and pull out this data every single month to track our performance, because we want to know. We had an example of an electrical contractor that we work with. We helped him get double the number of estimates. So he was doing 70 and he did 140, but he only closed 30 each month. Last year he closed 30, this year he closed 30. So that tells me his sales process is broken. He needs to fix his sales process, either hire a salesperson or come up with some better process. But it's not a marketing issue, it's a sales issue. So let's figure it out.
How do you distinguish between marketing and sales? I always like to ask that question.
Well, in that example, it's like, okay, you doubled your number of estimates, but you closed the same amount. So you got to fix your sales process. We could help you with some estimate nurture sequences or whatever, but at the end of the day, that's a sales issue. It's not a marketing issue.
I know what you're saying. How do you distinguish between a good lead and a bad lead? That's the other question I always run into.
Lead to estimate. A good lead is someone that generates an estimate. A bad lead is just a lead that doesn't turn into an estimate. That's why we track those numbers. Because
Okay.
let's say you got 100 leads, but you only did 20 quotes. That's 20%. You should be getting at like 40, 50% at least.
Got it. Got it. Well, what's next for you? I mean, where do you see your business growing and how do you see it evolving and what's your succession strategy?
Yeah, for sure. I'm young. I told you before, like I'm a debt-free guy. I used to have this crazy thing that I would say, like, when I'm 40, I'm gonna retire, I'm gonna be done. And I think that was mostly from a place of scarcity where I didn't like what I was doing and it wasn't fun for me, and it's just like more about money.
Yeah.
Now it's more about purpose and goals and using my talents to add value to people. So for right now, I love what I do every single day. I love the team that I have. Money's great, but at the end of the day, I think it's about purpose and what you're doing. So for us, we're just on a growth path. We're trying to get to 10 million in revenue, build out a great team, build out a great culture. We actually just won Inc. 5000 Best Workplaces, which is,
Wow.
a really
That's a
cool
high
thing.
honor. That's a very good honor.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So
So we're talking to with Phil Rischer, and he's our special guest today on Blueprint for Wealth. Phil, how do people get in touch with you?
yeah, so if you're a home service business, 1 to 10 million is kind of our bread and butter. And
Okay.
you're like, hey, we do these free marketing audits. You can go to our website, Flash Consulting, PHLASH consulting.com, and discuss your business. Also, if you just kind of like, Phil seems like a cool dude, interested in what he's talking about, we have a Flash Consulting YouTube channel. I hang out on LinkedIn and Instagram, Phil Rischer. And, just a normal guy, easy to answer, ask questions to, talk, and would love to meet anyone listening.
You know, this is it's exciting. We'll put the URLs on the screen also so that everybody can write it down. But I think you've really got this down to a science. And one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of marketing firms make is that they master SEO or whatever is hot in the instant, but they don't develop an entire process from lead to close and then follow up after that.
That's
And
right.
you have done that successfully, whether you've used other people's ideas, it doesn't matter, but you've done it for digital marketing for home service businesses. So for all of you out there, and I have many clients who are in the home service businesses, listen to this podcast again. Go back and listen to it again, because Phil just gave you a plethora of new ideas, and then call him and ask him to help you with your digital marketing, because I think you're going to see a difference. He's really got it down to a science. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth today. And I wish you all the success in the world as you grow your business.
Thanks, Wayne. I really appreciate that.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you soon.